Minnesota is the land of my recent ancestors, who settled there in the 19th century after leaving Norway. It is a land of hard-working, honest, open, and often naive white people. In fact, it is one of the whitest states in the nation. Largely insulated from the ugly reality of multiracialism, Minnesotans tend to believe what they are told by their television sets and by their churches, and so they are often liberal on racial issues. Like everywhere else in America, in Minnesota it is almost impossible to escape New World Order race-mixing propaganda. It is in the newspapers, on television, in most new books in the bookstores and libraries, etc., etc. One place it is truly impossible to escape it is in the public schools, where innocent white children forced to attend receive the most intense dose of anti-white propaganda it is possible to imagine. A few weeks ago, I told you about a Minnesota mother who wrote in exasperation to the editor of her local paper, wondering why European traditions at Christmas time were forbidden to be celebrated in her daughter's school, whereas her child had actually brought home extensive lesson material on Hanukkah, the synthetic African festival called Kwanzaa, and an unpronounceable celebration previously known only to Hmong tribesmen of Southeast Asia. It seems that the schools are trying their very best to tell that child that not only are her family's and people's traditions unmentionable, unacceptable, and at best unimportant, they are also telling her that it is of utmost importance that she learn the traditions and festivals of others, Jews, blacks, Asians. The list is actually endless. What an evil and psychologically crippling thing to do to that little girl. I have been in the halls of Minnesota schools and in the classrooms, and I can tell you that the anti-white program is in full swing, even in schools that are nearly 100% white. Nearly all feature posters of that communist functionary and traitor even to his own people, Martin Luther King. In some cases, our little boys and girls are taught for all practical purposes a new religion, in which that foul being is a god, and the little ones are instructed to sing songs to him. For some reason, the ACLU has not filed any lawsuits protesting this. In the halls are posters celebrating Black History Month and making the absurd claims that white historical figures such as Cleopatra and Hannibal were actually black, and that white Western civilization is an outgrowth of a posited African civilization. Maps of Africa and Central America with pictures of the natives are ubiquitous. Pictures of George Washington, or of battles of the Revolutionary War, or showing the heroic trek of the pioneers across this continent, common when I was a child, are now totally absent. No subject is taught, almost no point is made, without the inclusion of some anti-white or anti-Western propaganda, consisting of distorted half-truths, or made up for the purpose, by the double think tanks who, funded by our tax money, control education in this country. Read the textbooks and find out for yourself. Read the textbooks and weep. Needless to say, the result of all this mental rape, sometimes accompanied by physical rape in the more advanced schools, is the teaching of certain values to our children. They are not the values we would choose to teach to our children. They are the values that only our most deadly enemy would choose to teach them. And they amount to this. The more you hate your race, the more noble and good you are. The more you love and favor those of other races, the more noble and good you are. And nothing is better and more wonderful than to give yourself utterly and sexually to a member of another race. Nothing proves more powerfully that you are indeed a truly good person. And nothing proves you evil more surely than the opposite. That is the public schools today. Nevertheless, even that is not enough. Our rulers have established extra-legal bodies all over this land, funded, of course, with our own money, to ensure that the speedy extinction of the white race continues as planned. They call these bodies Human Relations Councils, or Human Rights Commissions, and many other names, and their officers go by various titles, but never by the most accurate one. Commissar. I will leave aside for the moment the question of whether you were ever consulted about the creation of these multifarious agencies, or ever voted on them. Of course you were not. Let us see what they are doing. Of course, there are so many of them, and their billions allow them to do so much that I could not even enumerate the ways in which they are destroying this country if I could speak on the radio 24 hours a day for 100 years. So today, let us just look at one small part of what they are doing. As I said, the multicultural brainwashing that our children are being subjected to is not enough for these folks. I recently read a shocking article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune of December 25th. It was entitled, "State is Urged to Stem Racism, Multicultural Education Called Key to Diversity." It begins by telling a heart-rending story about a black student in the mostly white city of St. Cloud, Minnesota, who, quote, "wanted to be an angel when she grew up," close quote. It demonizes the white students who supposedly laughed because they naturally thought of angels as white. It also demonizes the parents who oppose having multiculturalism jammed down their children's throats and who feel that they received a fine education and that the changes demanded by the change agents are not needed. This attitude on the part of the parents is described as racism. The article consists almost entirely of quotes from those who are pushing multiracialism. No opponent of diversity education is even mentioned by name. One whom they quote extensively is St. Cloud's Rhonda Nelson, a member of an outfit calling itself the Minnesota Minority Education Partnership Incorporated, and who also adorns the membership roster of something called the Multicultural Gender Fair Disability Aware Committee. Rhonda tells us, according to the article, that, quote, "schools should spend just as much money on diversity programs," close quote, "as they spend on technology." She pooh-poohs parents' fears that multicultural programs take away time and money from basic education, such as reading, writing, and mathematics. She states, quote, "they think that their children should have the opportunity to learn what they learned, and only what they learned. It scares me. I'm really concerned about what students and children are learning from St. Cloud and communities like St. Cloud," close quote. Rhonda recently testified to the State Board of Education on this matter. Her answer, according to the article, quote, "Minnesota needs a statewide strategy to promote diversity in its public schools, and reluctant school districts must be forced to take part," close quote. She states frankly, quote, "there's no way St. Cloud would do this voluntarily," close quote. The article continues, quote, "As state officials ponder what to do, St. Cloud has become deeply divided over multicultural education, with some residents even calling for the scuttling of a committee working on issues pertaining to minority groups. Moreover, the district has done little to diversify its workforce. Only one of its 900 teachers is black," close quote. Imagine that. They'd better start being good citizens and import some Mexicans or Filipinos or Africans right away and hire them as teachers. We can't have white teachers teaching white students. It's an outrage. And how dare those parents even think about scuttling a committee working on issues pertaining to minority groups? We need dozens, thousands of such committees, all paid for with tax money, of course. Isn't integration with non-whites the moral imperative, the real purpose of America and our lives here on Earth, after all? According to the article, people like Ellen Mork, former school board member and last year's executive director of the Multicultural Gender Fair Disability Aware Committee, state that, quote, "Cities such as St. Cloud aren't doing enough to break the cycle of racism," close quote. It is also stated that these groups are planning, predicting, that the percentage of non-whites in Minnesota schools will be about 25% in the year 2020. Another executive director, this time of the Minnesota Minority Education Partnership Incorporated, Deborah Lee, tells us, quote, "Parents of color across this state say we must deal with racism," close quote. Her group is, quote, "working with the state board on diversity issues," close quote. She told the board that, quote, "Opposition to multicultural education is not limited to St. Cloud," close quote. Her implication, if parents won't give their permission for multicultural indoctrination of their children, then Lee and others like her will force it on them by appealing to the state or federal government. What the parents want or students need is irrelevant. Deborah Lee also states, quote, "Teaching students about racism is just as important as teaching them how to recycle, how to avoid drug use, and how to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases," close quote. She states that parents of color teach their children about racism, quote, "because they know that their self-esteem and confidence can be ruined at any moment," close quote. I would add that we need to warn our children against the likes of Deborah Lee, to whom the question of a white child's self-esteem in the face of lifelong anti-white propaganda has not even occurred. Lee's attitude toward white students is revealed in her comments about talks she has had with white students in Minnesota, where antipathy towards non-whites, by the way, is almost unknown. Quote, "When I talk to white students about racism, especially in greater Minnesota, it's something that they don't know a lot about, and they don't learn until they have an opportunity to go to college. And in the meantime, they continue to perpetuate the cycle of racism and oppression in ways they're not even aware of. I'm sure you've heard many people say, 'I just didn't know. Sorry, I just didn't know.' Well, I think we've come to a point where not knowing is just not acceptable. You have to know," close quote. The article continues, quote, "As part of its work with the board, the partnership has set up community groups in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and St. Cloud to develop strategies aimed at helping students of color succeed. It plans to release its final recommendations to the board in February. Among the group's recommendations, schools must build confidence in young minority students, Work harder to hire and retain more teachers of color, and create a more welcoming environment for minorities. In Minneapolis, the group has identified racism as its top concern. Racism needs to be addressed more than desegregation and integration policy, said Eric Moore, who has been working on a focus group in North Minneapolis. Close quote. You know that as we speak, anti-white and pro-race mixing propaganda is the norm in virtually all public schools today. But the previously mentioned Rhonda Nelson states, possibly even without blushing at her whopper, that, quote, more diversity programs are needed, close quote. Ellen Mork, that exalted executive directress of the Multicultural Gender Fair Disability Aware Committee, states, quote, there is a segment of the community that is against multicultural education and is frankly racist. It needs to be combated, close quote. How bizarre, how pathetic, how ironic it is that the ever so nice people of Minnesota allow poisonous leeches like Ellen Mork to combat them with their own money. It is time for every parent to find out what his or her children are being taught in the public schools. It is time to expel forever these change agents of the New World Order from our school system. It is time to take down the pictures of Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King, and put up the pictures of Washington and Jefferson again. It is time to stop being afraid of charges of racism. It is time to reply to those charges, saying this: if wanting my child to be proud of and to carry on the great heritage of the West is racism, then so be it. Racism is therefore good, and we will embrace it like no people in history have embraced it before. And we will drive all those who would poison the minds of our children, all those who would teach them to hate themselves and their cultural and genetic inheritance, all those who would teach them that such hate is the ultimate in goodness, we will drive them from their ivory towers to a place where they will answer for their crimes.
Breaking down the walls of censorship, this is American Dissident Voices. Send $1 and you'll receive our catalog of suppressed books and tapes, including books and tapes you can't get anywhere else. Send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.